You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I mean, it kind of feels like a Monday, but it's a Friday. Very, very strange to have a Friday work day after a Thursday holiday. But here we are, 5th of July, after the 4th of July fireworks, holiday, cookout, whatever you did yesterday. It's the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Didn't yesterday feel kind of like a Sunday to you, Josh? Did it for, to me, it totally felt like a Sunday.
Yes, the entire day I was like, oh, man, I got a week of work ahead of me. And like, I reminded myself three or four different times, oh, today's Thursday. Like, tomorrow is
well,
just
don't
a
sound so
thing.
Disappointed that you have to work with me for the whole week.
No, that's not okay. What I'm saying. But I was just, it was just weird because I was like, yeah, man, like this weekend flew by fast. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Right, that's not right, the weekend. Right.
Because that's really what it felt like. It was less that it's a Sunday and tomorrow's Monday. It was more so what happened to Saturday, but
yeah,
Saturday
yeah,
hadn't happened yet. So it was a weird feeling. I didn't really like it that much.
But here we are. I mean, what did you do last night? Did you have fireworks last night? Did you go somewhere for fireworks? What'd you do?
I had some friends over. We did like a cookout, played some cornhole, played some, you know, board games
nice.
And stuff. And then like when it got dark out, we're like, oh, like let's go outside and just kind of like look around the neighborhood, right, and see what's going on. And like, these fireworks sounded like they were right next to me. And I'm looking around for, like, 30 minutes. We're walking around our block and everything, and there's fireworks going off all over the place. And we can't see a single one. There was, like, trees, buildings. Everything was in our way of, like, seeing these fireworks. And it sounded like they were right next to us. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, I couldn't see any of them. I wouldn't even see them, like, a glimpse through the trees. But it sounded like they were right there. I don't know how to explain it, but it was cool to hear them, at least, I guess, but it would have been nicer to see them, you know?
Yeah, what are you good at cornhole? You just said you play cornhole.
Yeah,
are you good at cornhole?
I feel like I'm pretty good at cornhole. I mean, I haven't played much this summer, so I'm a little rusty, but like,
right.
I don't know. I've hit like 4 shots in a row in the hole before, so I don't know if that's like a gauge of how good I am or anything.
I feel like I'm good at cornhole too, but I've never been in like some tournament to judge it. I just like step up and throw it in. I'm like, yeah, there we go, another one in. I don't know.
I mean, we've had it's one of those things in cornhole leagues recently.
I know that Dion does his cornhole tournament,
and I think
year, right?
There's someone else too. I can't remember. Was it Shaq Lawson? Maybe. I'm not sure.
I think you're right. I think
somebody popped up playing with Dion in the cornhole league that they air on like ESPN. And I was like, wow, that's really random, but they were really good at it, so.
we had a really nice fireworks display in my neighborhood last night, and I didn't even know, like, I knew a few years ago, had to be 3-4 years ago, there were fireworks, there's always fireworks around. I live in the city, I'm actually not far from, like, the border, Peace Bridge area, the Buffalo River, you can go down there, and you can see some things, you look around, you know, you just kind of see things, it's a good place to see it. Kind of 360 when you see fireworks going off. But here in my neighborhood specifically, you know, I know that there's you can hear them. There's a lot of trees in the way. You know, you're not doing this open area. If it's in the city, there's a lot of houses and trees. But at the ends of a couple corners, people have definitely, like, you know, blown them off over the last several years, and you know. But I had a neighbor last night say, yeah, but you know that right at the end down here of the end of the street, there's a really good display every year. The one guy, you know, he puts it together and, like, no, I don't think we ever realized that. So I said, all right, well, let's walk down there. So grab a couple lawn chairs, literally walk down to two short city blocks. Not a long walk at all. 5-minute walk. Walk down there. And like the rest of the neighborhood is coming out, putting chairs in the street. It's a one-way street, but like you can't even drive down because basically blocking it off like a block party, right? People got their food out, putting their lawn chairs out. I'm like, this is totally cool. And there was a display, man. It was awesome. I said, this is better than going to Lancaster or Cheektowaga or something like that and taking the ride and sitting. We were close to it. It was a great display. Had a really great, you know, neighborhood. Everybody's out, young kids and adults and really diverse crowd. It was awesome. It was just the neighborhood came together. I'm like, my neighborhood rocks, man. Very cool, you know? people coming together on the 4th of July. And then, like I said, there was food out there and people just hanging out. People you haven't seen in a while. People you've never seen. You met people, said hi. Had a couple people come up to me. Hey, love listening to the radio show. Meet a few people I never met in my neighborhood. So that was a nice night last night for that. Not just for fireworks, but just for, you know, meeting people and the city of good neighbors, right? So I liked it last night. It was a good night. It was a good night for it. It was really, you know, warm and, you know, didn't rain. And then tonight, Savannah Bananas coming down to Salem Field, getting ready for that. Heading out there with the travel baseball team and should be fun. I'm telling you this, if you're going tonight, it's going to be packed, sold out, and it's general admission seating. So just be aware if you're going down, like it's going to be a rush to get to certain seats. There's no assigned seating. It's going to be super busy. There's a party in the plaza going on before that, like 3:30. I think that starts. Gates open at 5:15. Should be super fun. But we are ready to rock and roll for Savannah Bananas tonight. Yesterday, before the fireworks, took in the Sabres 3-on-3 prospects tournament, development camp 3-on-3 tournament. You had Team Martin, Team Perreault, Team Robert, right? So you have three teams, French Connection, that's what they're named after. It was the French Connection trophy they wind up winning at the end. Consta Helenis was the team's first round pick. He was on Team Perreault. They wound up winning it. Wearing the gold jerseys, it was gold against blue against white. And basically you played a round robin, then they had the semifinal, then they had the final. I asked Paul Hamilton Wednesday which, if any player, kind of stood out to him in any capacity for this. And he said, it's Helenis. He talked about getting hit and not getting knocked off the puck and, you know, just his skill. Oh my gosh, definitely. I mean, if there's a guy that stood out to me, it was Consta Helenis. And I mean, it's great. I love it. But at the same time, I'm like, here we go again. More prospects, right? I don't need Consta Helenis to stand out. It's great that he does. Maybe just adds another guy that a team might want to, you know, trade for if they're going to trade you a top six guy. Because you get, you know, somewhere along the line where a team is looking for prospects. You have Kulik. And you have Rosin, and you have Matthew Savoy, and Oslin, and you know all these guys. And you got even some of the young guys that have played for the Sabres the last couple of years. And we talked about Kevin Adams trying to make a deal, not being able to make a deal, trying to make a deal for a top six forward. He can't do it. What do teams want? And if there's a team that wants a prospect, boy, the Sabres have plenty of them. We know that. Well, here comes another one. This kid, he looked good. And I understand he's also going against development camp rostered players, but there was a shootout in the first game that was played. He took one of the shootouts, the attempts, and oh my gosh, absolutely stopped on a dime to make a move to bury it. And I took Max with me, we were sitting in the first row, and I filmed it and I posted it, and you could go check that out at Sal Sports on Twitter. It was fantastic move. By the way, Sabres were streaming it. A lot of people also, some of the media also, you know, tweeted out the video of it. So check that out. But Consta Helenis was a difference maker in the shootout, in the game, but just the way he looked. I mean, again, the thing about it for me is I'm glad, no doubt, right? I'm glad that he looked great, that he looked good. And it's like, okay, they hit on another pick, right? That's really nice. I'm just getting kind of fatigued about it. What did Jeremy call it? Prospect fatigue, maybe. It's exactly the way I feel about it. It's nice. I don't necessarily need it. I need one of these guys, somebody, to turn into a top six forward either overnight right away that we're not expecting, or more preferably make a deal here in the offseason that I can feel like it's actually happening and there's someone there. And that hasn't happened yet. And I don't know if it's going to happen. Paul is going to join me at the bottom of the hour to talk about what he saw at Sabres Development Camp and then in the 3-on-3 Prospects Tournament. We are going to hear from Dennis Gilbert today. We'll play that for you. Dennis Gilbert, of course, signed with the Sabres as a free agent. He's a Western New York native, grew up here, played most recently with the Calgary Flames, originally a draft pick of the Blackhawks, played with the Colorado Avalanche, defenseman, played with the Flames, and has now since signed a free agent contract with the Sabres. He met with the media yesterday, and we'll have that sound for you. Also, Lafferty, I think we're going to probably get you a Sam Lafferty here in just a moment. Lafferty also, you know, joins the Sabres as a free agent, comes over from the Vancouver Canucks. So we'll play him for you as well. I'll tell you who else looked pretty good in that prospects tournament. Scott Ratzlaff. He is a goaltender in the organization, 6'1", 175. He looked pretty good as well. I thought that he had a really nice, you know, few games. He was kind of, it was also kind of easy to see him. He was sitting right in front of us. We were watching that. But I thought Ratzlaff played pretty well as well. Not that this team necessarily needs a goaltender right now, you know, to come up and challenge for anything. This is years away. They have goalies. We know that. They're going to sign UPL here coming up. He's an RFA. They have Devin Levi. They just signed James Reimer. So they should be okay here. But, you know, it's always nice to have young guys in the pipeline coming up. But I thought he looked good as well. 803-0550 if you want to join us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Sam Lafferty, a forward who the Sabres signed as a free agent. He's played with four different NHL teams in five seasons. Comes over most recently from the Vancouver Canucks. Had 13 goals, 11 assists for the Vancouver Canucks last year. Signs a free agent contract. Let's hear from Sam Lafferty, who spoke with the media yesterday. Our Paul Hamilton and the rest of the media spoke with Lafferty over a Zoom call. We'll bring that to you right now here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and then Paul Hamilton at the bottom of the hour.
Agency opened. Ultimately, what led you to choose the Sabres?
Yeah, thank you. It was a number of factors, I would say. And the more we thought about Buffalo, the more we really liked it and loved the opportunity here. I've always been a big fan of this hockey club and the players they had. So it got me excited, you know, playing with a lot of the opportunity to play with a lot of these guys, obviously, and could just tell the conversations with, you know, with Kevin that this was going to be a good fit and in a situation where, you know, I think I see myself really helping the team. So I think it checked a lot of boxes and additionally a little bit closer to family too. So I think just pretty much checked every box, and the more we thought about it, the more excited we got.
What do you think you gained the last 2 years in Vancouver, getting more reps back at center and to play it at that level and to do it with, you know, the different guys that you were able to in different situations?
Yeah, it was a great experience in Vancouver. I loved my time there, played with a lot of great players for sure. And I think just, you know, more experience playing, you know, meaningful hockey games and down the stretch into the playoffs. And I mean, that's what the goal is. You want to win, you want to get in the playoffs and see what happens. So, yeah, loved my time there. Learned a lot from the coaching staff there and, hopefully be able to bring that experience with me and help this group.
Last one for you, just overall, what was your reaction to the other guys that the Sabres signed? Obviously, you know, Jason, but you know, this team wants to become harder to play against, and you're part of that group that Kevin brought in to try to address that.
Definitely. I got excited seeing some of the other guys we brought in. Obviously played with Jason in Pittsburgh and know what kind of guy he is. And one thing that always impressed me, I was a little bit younger when I was in Pittsburgh, but just watching him every night, how consistent he was and how much intensity he brought to the table every single night, in addition to obviously all the skill he brings. So, you know, really excited to play with him again. And, yeah, familiar with, Obey Kubel as well, mostly just battling against him over the years. So he was a guy who's always hard to play against. So fortunate to be on the same team as him now and excited to see what we can do together.
Thanks a lot.
Hi, Sam. Just, you know, the Canucks had a very quick turnaround last season after a rough season in 22-23. What lessons can you take maybe from what you experienced this past season and apply them to the Sabres with just how, you know, you guys were able to turn it around so quickly?
Yeah, I think I only got there the day before the season, but from what I could tell, the team had a great training camp and everyone was on the same page with the systems and how we were trying to play. And I think there was just collective buy-in. Everyone was on the same page. The message was pretty simple of how we were trying to play, and everyone bought in, and everyone was accountable to one another for that standard. So I think once we gained some momentum, we started gaining confidence. And I think, we were just able to sustain that throughout, playing the right way, starting in our own end and just the details all over the ice.
Thank you.
Hi, Sam. Excuse me, Mike Herring from the Buffalo News here. I want to delve a little more into Jason, if you would. Tell me a little bit about the skill set you saw. A guy who's scored 30 goals in this league, is what impresses you about his ability on the offensive side?
Yeah, I think if you just watch a lot of the goals he scores, it's, high skill level, but also the hockey IQ and the awareness of knowing where to be at the right time. And then I think, like I said before, I've always just been impressed with his compete level and the intensity he brings every single day to the rink. So he scores a lot of goals that, you know, areas that guys don't want to go to around the net. And, he's not afraid to mix it up and just competes all over the ice. He was a player I always looked up to when I was in Pittsburgh and admired his compete level.
The Sabres have been a team that have struggled in the faceoff circle for several years running now, and I would imagine they want you to help in that area. When you think of faceoffs, how much of it is, execution and strategy, and how much of it is just pure mentality?
I'd say it's mostly mentality. There's definitely strategy that goes into it, especially if you're facing the same guys over and over. You start trying different things. But, a lot of it's just timing and knowing what you can get away with and what you can't get away with. I think a lot of it just comes down to experience and mentality.
Thank you.
Hi, Sam. Welcome to Buffalo. I just wanted to ask you, how much does it help you where it's not just you? You've got guys like Malenstein and Abe Cabell and Dennis Gilbert and Clifton, who's already here, and you're very familiar with him with the Bruins and now with Buffalo. How much does that maybe help Thompson and Cousins and Quinn and Tuck, knowing that you guys have their back? And it's not just one of you that has it. It's not just you. You've got other guys that you all have each other's backs. Does that make a huge difference?
I think so. I envision our team being a team that sticks together and competes hard for one another. So I'm excited to get everyone together and start to build that chemistry. But it's it means a lot to have all those names you mentioned and a lot of the higher end skill guys. I think there's no reason we can't piece it together and have a lot of success this year.
Hi there, Sam. Congrats on the contract. What has Lindy talked to you about, and has he discussed your role with the team, and how comfortable are you with getting heavy defensive zone starts?
Yeah, that's definitely what I expect and something that I think I can bring to the table. And I think just the versatility wherever the team needs me, I'm willing and able to be put in those situations. And I think I could definitely help with the penalty kill. And just bring my speed and energy every single night. I think, kind of wherever I'm placed is where I'm comfortable. Just excited for starting to build our team game. And, that's one of the things Lindy's talked about is just, how we want to play as a group and just being hard to play against and, starts with playing hard in our own end and tracking back hard. So, excited to get things running and, seeing what we can do.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate it.
Sam, you didn't get the chance mostly early in your career, but the last 2 years now you've played 20 playoff games between Toronto and Vancouver. What were some of your takeaways of those experiences and just that can help you going forward with a team that hasn't been in playoffs in a long time?
Yeah, just you take away the intensity level and just how much fun it is playing at that time of year. It's, you still get goosebumps thinking about playing in some of those buildings in Toronto, and especially this year being in Vancouver. You know, it's just, I've never heard an arena that loud. And I can tell, you know, Buffalo is a place where I remember as a kid seeing the teams that had a lot of success in, you know, the 2000s. And you can just tell the city really gets behind the team and is really craving it, you know, playoff hockey around here. So, yeah, I think it's when it's most fun, and that's what the goal is. That's what we're looking forward to.
What was it like watching Edmonton, you know, get all the way to game 7 of the Cup when, you know, essentially in Vancouver, you guys were close to getting it?
Yeah, it was, I mean, that was just really good at hockey at the end of the day, but a little tough to watch for sure. A little, you know, a little bittersweet, but knowing you were that close. But, you know, Florida obviously had a great team, and, you know, congrats to them. But, yeah, I think the margin is just so slim, separating teams that, you know, when you get to that level, that stage of the game. So, you know, it's tough to be that close, but I think it makes you that much hungrier knowing you're right there.
That is new Sabres forward Sam Lafferty, one of the new Sabres forwards. I mean, I don't think anybody can deny they've gotten better and tougher to play against. That's the way to say it, in their bottom six. That's something that Kevin Adams wanted to do. It's something that Lindy Ruff has wanted to do, obviously, since, you know, taking over. And it's a concentration they've had. They've also had a concentration on trying to get better in their top six. That hasn't happened. You can make a trade at any time. I mean, it could happen today. It could happen tomorrow. It might not happen at all. I think that's what we're all waiting on. Is that going to happen? Is there a way for this team to still get better in the top six? Because if they go into training camp and it looks like, hey, your top six is void of Jeff Skinner. He's now gone. He's in Edmonton after the buyout and him signing there. But you're having guys like Kulik, Rosine, and Savoy battle for it. It's nice to see that. It's nice to see young players who look good or trying to become, you know, NHL, not only, you know, ready, but very good contributors. That doesn't inspire a lot of confidence that you'll be better than you were last year. And this team has to make the step. And they know that. They've talked about it. I mean, again, Kevin Adams spoke again this week, and it was reiterated even by him, even by the GM. If anybody thinks the GM doesn't think you know, he doesn't have the pressure to win, he certainly does. And as I've said before, it's not for lack of trying. He's trying. But there is one thing that's trying and another thing that's doing and finding a different way, in a creative way. You can try all you want. If it doesn't work, you got to try something else in a different way. And that's what his task is now. His task is now to find a more creative way. That could be an offer sheet. Maybe that's what it is. Go to you see an RFA. Hey, what are you waiting on? That if that's what you got to do, use that mechanism. You have that at your disposal. You can do that. Teams don't do it. They don't want to do it. Maybe that's a way to do it. Or maybe you just have to give up a little more than you thought you would to get a player in here that you wanted to get. Do you think that could help you a lot? And then we can all debate and say, well, you gave up too much. Well, guess what? It's time to win. And if you wind up winning and you make the playoffs, and that player helps, you know, maybe a few years you're ruining it because you said that we look back and they gave away Kulik or Savoy and that he becomes really good. I understand that. But now is not the time to worry about that. Now is not the time to think about that so much. Paul Hamilton joins me on the other side of this timeout. We'll break down what happened, and he will, at Sabres Development Camp for a few days, and also the 3-on-3 tournament yesterday. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Friday, July 5th. Hope everybody had a 4th. We'll be back after this with Paul Hamilton.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, was the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People will ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I feel bad because I've been asking Paul to join me like every day this week, basically. Well, it's, you know, Sabres Development Camp. That's what happens, you know. It's what we do. I saw him yesterday working hard down at Lecom Harbor Center. It was a good day, though, Paul. Good crowd on hand. That was nice for July 4th. Good crowd to watch the 3-on-3 tournament. By the way, good morning to you. Hope you had a good 4th, and it was a good day yesterday.
Yeah, it was, and good morning to you. And it was a very good crowd. Good to see all the kids down there, and you know, they were into it, so it was nice to see. And you know, sometimes you get carried away with all the negativity that you hear from people about, you know, 13 years and the whole thing, and you wonder if there are going to be two people that show up. But no, they were enthusiastic. They were there, ready to go, and it was great to see the fans there.
You said to me the other day, the guy that was stood out to you was Helenas, and certainly he did to me. We were sitting down there and watching him pretty closely. I was, and then that shootout goal was just fantastic. Mm. Not many guys would be able to do that. Stopped on a dime, made a great move, and buried it. And yeah, he certainly is a little bit different.
Yeah, especially against guys his own age. I mean, he was
exactly
head and shoulders above everybody else, not just with the shootout goal, but with just almost a mature game that he had. And again, still a real puck hawk, you know, always, you know, on the puck. If he doesn't have it, he's going to get it. Seems to make the right decisions, a very good passer. He seems like he makes the guys he's on the ice better when he's out on the ice with them. Good shooter. You know, he also had some assists, not only to the two goals plus the shootout goal. He had some assists the game, and pretty, you know, I think he was by far, and there were some other good performances, but I think by far he was the best player on the ice and one of the big reasons his team won the 3-on-3 tournament.
Paul Hamilton here on the West Her Hotline. Anybody else that stood out to you during the 3-on-3 tournament in that particular setting?
Yeah, Stefan Sadarnian, the Russian third-round pick in 2021, he had four goals in the three games. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, because he's a guy that he's the Russian player that went to college hockey and played 2 years at New Hampshire, but decided to transfer just because I think he was looking for more ice time. He liked New Hampshire and you know, liked the school, liked the coaches, but decided after 2 years to transfer, was going to go to Northern Michigan. The coaching staff left, so now he decommitted there, and right now he doesn't have a team. So he's looking for another college team. Told me maybe in the next week or two he'll have a team to play on. Really looked good, very good in the games, and had some breakaways. Every time he had a breakaway, he converted. I mean, I liked him a lot. And another guy that you know, you probably Miedema, who you may not be expecting. He was a fourth round pick, Ethan Miedema, in 2023. He had a good tournament too. He scored a lot of goals for Team Robert. And, you know, I didn't notice him as much during the week, but certainly noticed him. He was all around the net and converted, you know, almost every opportunity he got throughout. And a guy I noticed throughout the week and did score a goal. He might have had the first or second goal in the 3-on-3 was Zimmer. Just has a heck of a shot. I mean, he can just rip it. And I remember watching him in a drill. It was a 3-on-3. They put the nets at the blue line, and they have a 3-on-3 in the neutral ice area. And he scored from the outskirts. It wasn't even on the off wing. He just ripped it under the crossbar, and then had three beautiful goals. You know, just deked the goalie right out of his shorts and scored then. And you know, he's a guy that was on the U.S. National Development Program. He was their captain. And going to the University of Minnesota in the fall, but he has an elite shot and somebody that was very noticeable during the drills and all through camp. He was the Sabres' third round pick this year. You know, a couple of us were saying, I wonder why he lasted in the third round, just watching him go up against guys his own age. And it might have been, you know, he's not 6 foot, so it might have been size that maybe teams didn't go after him until the third round. But boy, just watching him all up against guys his own age, I think the University of Minnesota has a good one.
Paul, you got the chance to hear from new Sabres Dennis Gilbert, Sam Lafferty. You wrote about Lafferty at our website, WGR550.com. What'd you learn from either of these guys about their style of play, what they're intending, what roles they're going to play here in Buffalo, and the reason why they maybe even signed here?
Well, Dennis Gilbert, of course, I mean, he had the opportunity to come here and, you know, play for his hometown team. It's like a dream come true mm-hmm. for him. You know, he's like, boy, I get that opportunity, and he really is looking forward to it. And he brings an element to the defense that the Sabres don't have a lot of other than Clifton. You know, you're not going to take advantage of teammates when he's on the ice, and he's going to play a good, tough style of defense, and he's going to be very difficult to play against, kind of the theme of the signings that Buffalo had this year. Jason Zucker is just on a 1-year deal, but he liked what he heard from Kevin Adams about what the Sabres are trying to build here. He feels he can step into a top six role if he's asked to do that. And, you know, that was the one thing he said, you know, because 2 years ago he really put up numbers in Pittsburgh, and last year he didn't. He said, well, Arizona had a couple of top-end guys, but he said, I never really got the opportunity to play with them. That's not what they wanted. So they asked me to do something different. So, you know, he didn't have the numbers last year in Arizona, and then he wound up in at the end of the year in Nashville for the playoffs. So, you know, so, you know, he said he kind of can't wait to play for Lindy Ruff. And, you know, mm-hmm. he's played with other guys. He's actually played with Rafferty in Pittsburgh. He's played with Tuck in Minnesota. He mentioned Rafferty, that he's really likes the way he plays. He likes the way he skates. He's excited that, you know, he's going to be here with the Sabres. He said he has a crazy amount of speed. There's a lot of physicality in what he'll bring. And, you know, so he was excited that Lafferty was part of it. And Lafferty is excited to be here, too, just from the fact that, you know, he wants to be a part of, you know, he said he was excited to hear what the Sabres wanted. And it's not just him that's coming in to be hard to play against. He's got other guys that are going to be with him. Yeah, Abe Kubel, a guy that, you know, he said he's competed against many times, and he's very difficult to compete against, and he's looking forward to being out there with him and being part of that type of a group. You know, he said he's always, you know, he thought the Sabres were a good team when he's played against them. And, you know, now that he's here, he thinks he can bring those types of elements to the game. You know, he doesn't mind being a guy who starts the play in the defensive zone. He doesn't mind being a guy that kills penalties. He doesn't mind being the guy that's tough to play against out there. And here with Malenstein and Abe Kubel and Gilbert and those guys. And, you know, you put Clifton now in that role, too. Before, it was basically just Clifton by himself. You know, and nobody else really was around to help him. And it makes players better to have guys like him. And what I mean by that is, you know, Thompson and Tuck and Quinn, that group of guys, when they know they have guys like this behind them that have their backs, it allows them to play freer. It allows them, they don't have to worry about, you know, Tage Thompson, a couple of times you saw him jump in for teammates, and then now you got Tage Thompson fighting. Well, do you really want Tage Thompson in the penalty box for 5 minutes and risking injury by, you know, fighting because there's nobody else? And so he's going, well, somebody's got to stand up for our teammates, so I'm going to type of a scenario. So when you only had Clifton basically to do that, and you leave Darlene to basically fend for himself, when those guys, they know that they have backup now, they know that they have teammates that are going to be there for them, it makes them better players. So I think it's just going to help all the way around.
Paul Hamilton on the West Her Hotline. Paul's reports on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. A guy that I actually liked watching during the development camp in the 3-on-3 tournament was the goaltender, Ratzlaff. I thought that he played pretty well. Now, obviously, this is a guy that, you know, we're not expecting necessarily to make a contribution, but feels like their goaltending situation is pretty healthy. I know they had to sign James Reimer, but just kind of going through the organization, I thought Ratzlaff did a pretty good job. And honestly, Paul, it's the one thing that it seems like this team has always had, save for a few years here or there.
Yeah, I agree with you. He must have made at least four breakaway saves in the tournament, and I thought was the best goalie of the four throughout the week and throughout the tournament. Now, he's only 19 years old. He turned 19 in March, and he was just drafted in 2023, a fifth-round pick. Now, he has, you know, gone through 3 years now with the Seattle Thunderbirds in the WHL, and spent a little time with Rochester, too, just after the Thunderbirds season was over. He, you know, spent some time there with Seth Appert and the group and practiced and was around. I think he dressed as a backup, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I remember that correctly, but I believe he did. So he has that experience under his belt now. But, yeah, I thought of all the goaltenders there, he was the best. And, boy, he was just lights out on breakaways. It seemed like he had to face more tough shots than anybody else did in the three-on-three. And he was up for it.
Paul Hamilton on the West Hur Hotline. All right, Paul, you also, real quick, for our Rochester listeners and audience, Michael Leone spoke to the media. What do we know about Michael Leone, and what did you learn from him? He's the new Rochester Americans coach. Of course, Seth Appert now up on the big club.
Well, folks were around. They didn't see him the first two days because Leone and his wife welcomed a new
Leone,
child.
Leone, I'm sorry. Is that
world.
How you say his name? My apologies.
What's that?
Leone, is that how Leone is how you say his name? My apologies.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yes, thank you.
He and his wife welcomed a child, and I believe it was a daughter, into the world. So okay. he was able to come to the back half. So normally the Rochester coaching staff run the drills and they run everything, which I think Adam Mayer did the first day and Nathan Page did the second day, and then Leone was there for the third day and for this. So he said he went to dinner with a lot of the prospects the day before the three-on-three because some of them are going to be Rochester Americans either this year or next and down the road. So he just wanted to get to know them. He, of course, was very impressed with what he saw from Hellenius. And, you know, he liked some of the other ones, too. So it was an opportunity for, you know, because his assistant coaches hadn't met him in person yet. So they, you know, they had talked, of course, but this is the first time he had an opportunity to sit down with them and meet them in person, and you know, figure out what they want to do. They said they went over all the forwards that they possibly might be Vinny Prospo, and he went over all the forwards that could possibly wind up in Rochester this year, and you know what Vinny Prospo thought of them, and the ones that had been in Rochester before. So he's kind of jumping in, and you know, he got an opportunity to at least meet everybody and be around, but he was only around for half the camp.
By the way, it's so funny, Vinny Prospo. Think about his name. I mean, it happens all the time where these guys, they become coaches. You're like, man, I remember when he played, right? Vinny Prospo. Remember him playing back in the mid-90s, you know what I mean?
I don't know if you saw him over there. He was coaching Team Robert. He went nuts.
Wow.
Like three different times, he exploded on the referees.
Oh,
and
really?
And at first I thought maybe he was kidding around, but he wasn't. He was
amazing.
Into it. He wanted to win that tournament, and he went absolutely crazy a couple of times on the referees. And I've never seen that during the 3-on-3.
Paul, real quick to round out the coaching staff. So there was a lot, you know, that happened when they hired Lindy Ruff. A lot of it was made about who was coming back, who wasn't. Looks like everything's set, right? Mike Bales, Matt Ellis, Marty Wilford's back. Then Justin White and Amir Gulati were also added, I believe. But I think that is it then. It doesn't feel like there's going to be any more changes here now that Leone is also in charge of the Amerks. And, of course, oh, yeah, man, and where's... And Seth Appert is up as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Seth Appert is with the team, and
yep,
they jumped right in. I mean, first day that Lindy Ruff was the coach of the Sabres, he sat down with Matt Ellis and Marty Wilford, and they started going over players and film,
mm-hmm.
and they started telling Lindy Ruff, "Well, this is what we've got here," and they started looking at film immediately. Lindy Ruff wanted to see, how do these guys play? What do you guys see? Tell me where our strengths are. Tell me where you think our weaknesses are. Show me, you know, on film what it is. And they jumped in immediately. And Seth Appert also can come in and immediately, you know, tell him, okay, this is what I think you have in Jiří Kulík. Where is he in his development? What did you think of Anton Wahlberg when he came up for 9 games last year and I thought looked pretty good? You know, how about the two young Russian defensemen? One isn't there yet. He'll start this year. But the other one, you know, had been down there. Nikita Novikov, where is he at? Ryan Johnson, what did you think of him when he was down there? I mean, he can really give the update on the prospects and who does he think is ready? Who does he think might be able to contribute? All those types of things. So, as I said, Lindy Ruff did not waste any time. I think when he was introduced, he had already had at least one session with his assistant coaches where they had sat down and were talking and going over film and talking about things.
All right, Paul. Well, listen, by the way, how was your fourth last night? And we talked a little bit about it. Did you ever wind up see some fireworks over at your place or what?
Nope. I relaxed a little bit and just watched a little TV, and I didn't do fireworks. I normally do, but I didn't walk down there yesterday. So I was just finally got done with what I needed to get done, and it was just you know, after I talked to you, I'm actually have a pass for the Savannah Bananas tonight.
Love it.
So I'll be down covering that, and but in the meantime, I have to get outside because I look like my house looks like nobody's lived here in 5 years. So I have to get.
Well, that's because you've been covering development camp.
I have to get the long cut. I have to do some things. So that's going to be my mission when we're done.
Well, listen, I appreciate you all week. I know you've been working hard down at development camp. Look for a whole bunch of green jerseys tonight at Savannah Bananas. We'll be there with a whole bunch of North Buffalo baseball kids. So
oh, you're
have
going
fun
excellent.
Tonight as well.
Excellent. Yeah, we're winding up at the same events lately.
All the time. Hey, that's what happens when you do this. And then, we'll be there with a bunch of baseball kids. It should be fun. Enjoy Savannah Bananas tonight. Thank you so much for the week. I really appreciate it, and we'll catch up soon.
Oh, anytime. And, I hope you and the kids enjoy tonight, too.
All right, Paul. Thanks a lot. Paul Hamilton there on the West Her Hotline. Sabres development camp is over. 3-on-3 tournament is over. What do they do next? Prospects challenge. That comes up. Training camp not far after that. Regular season starts in Prague after they go to Munich for a couple of games for end of the preseason. Home opener October 10th. It comes quick. We're already past the 4th of July, man. I was thinking about that last night. My wife looks at me. She goes, I can't believe it's already the 4th of July. I'm like, I know. Goes quick. I think about December or January, and it's kind of cold. You go outside, the snow's on the ground, and you're bundling up. And I'm like, man, I can't wait for those July and August nights. And here they are. And they go by quick. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Doug Ferrara is going to join me at the top of the hour. So Doug wrote a really, really interesting article. And you can find Doug, USA Today, other places. He wrote an interesting article about the NFL and teams pivoting away from number one wide receivers and whether or not you should or shouldn't, and if they need or don't need them. Thought it was really interesting because of the situation the Bills are in. So we'll talk with Doug about that. He also spoke with Josh Allen about chemistry with new receivers on the heels of some of the moves the Bills have made this year. So Doug Farrar at the top of the hour. We have a timeout here, though, on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.